Now today, our lesson will come from the book of Exodus chapter 9. If you've just tuned in, by chance perhaps, to this program, I remind you that we've been going through a series of studies in the book of Exodus. And today we've reached chapter 9. Now the lessons of this chapter are to be found in the demonstration of the supreme power of Jehovah, the God of Israel, and over against that there is the obstinacy of Pharaoh, the sinful leader of the land of Egypt. Now I want to read to you then 7 verses from the opening of this chapter. Exodus 9. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep, there shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Now let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we again acknowledge Thee, it's Thy word we've been reading. And we would desire of Thee today that what we read and study from Thy Word shall be a blessing to all who listen. Grant that Thy people may be edified by the exposition of the Word, and if unsaved people who are struggling looking for the way of light, if they listen into this message today, grant, O God, by Thy Spirit, they shall be guided into the way that the Lord speaks of when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we ask that everyone may be blessed by Thee today for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, as we come to this particular chapter today, we are looking now at the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th plagues that came upon the land of Egypt. Now, in this 5th plague, I want you to notice it is directed against the possessions of the Egyptians. And it should be noted that once more, God takes the initiative in sending His servant Moses and giving him the message to declare to Pharaoh in simple, understandable words. Pharaoh had no difficulty in understanding what Moses was saying. The warning from God was not couched in a language that couldn't be understood. Moses was sent by God, and he commences his sermon, as it were, his message, by saying, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews. Here was a message from God to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Oh, God has been dealing with them time and time again, and here again Moses goes in, and his authority is stated, Thus saith the Lord. Now you remember, Pharaoh said in the beginning, Who is the Lord that I should obey him? You see, Pharaoh considered himself the Lord, and no one could dictate to him. And for this man who represented a bunch of slaves to come into Pharaoh and say, Thus said the Lord God of the Hebrews. Now, if this was all that their God could do for them, was to allow them to become slaves in a foreign land, surely their God had very little power. And for Moses to come in and say, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews. Why, of course, This was like mockery to Pharaoh. But yet Moses continues to say this. Let my people go that they may serve me. Now, I pointed out in a previous study, the whole argument here with these judgments, these plagues that God was bringing upon the Egyptians, it was a battle between Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who wanted to hold these people as slaves, and their God, who wanted them liberated that they may serve him. Would they continue to be slaves to Pharaoh, or would they be redeemed and become the servants of God? And so the battle is going on. Now, this plague, as I have indicated, is directed against the possessions of the Egyptians. God has taken the initiative and he sends Moses in again. And he tells them very plainly, if you don't let my people go, then remember the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle. It's a very strange thing that at a previous time, the magicians of Egypt came out and they said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They admitted that. This is the finger of God. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them. Now then, if the finger of God could cause such confusion in Egypt, what would happen now if God uses his hand? If thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle. Now remember, my friend, when God's hand moves in blessing, it's a tremendous blessing. But when God's hand moves in judgment, the judgment will be severe. When God's hand came forth and wrote upon the plaster of the wall in the days of Belshazzar, it spelt judgment for that king. When God moves his little finger, remember this, there's not a power on earth can stand against God's finger. When God raises his hand, you can rest assured, God has all power. He holds the very heavens and earth in his hand. Creation is in the hand of God. And he says, God will raise his hand against you. Notice again the divine purpose. Let my people go that they may serve me. Now God will not modify his demands regarding his purposes for his people. But he demands their complete release and their undivided service. Pharaoh has been brought to the point where he was ready to give a compromise. He compromised in this, that he would allow them to serve their God as long as they remained in the land. They were not to leave the land, but serve your own God. Plain words. You don't require to serve our idols. You don't require to worship like us. You can worship as you like and worship your own God, but you'll do it here in the land as long as you remain my slaves. God says, no, we'll not have that compromise. You'll let my people go that they may serve me. You know, my friend, when you come to analyze these things today, the devil is quite pleased to let people be religious. As long as they continue in their sin, as long as they continue in the place of idolatry, you can worship as you like. But that's not God's purpose. God wants people to be redeemed. He wants them to be liberated from the devil's bondage. He wants them to be brought out from the devil's power, that they'll be free men, free to worship God. Let my people go, says God, that they may worship me. So let us face up to this. God is not going to modify his demands upon us. God knows exactly what he is asking, and he has purposes for us. He demands their complete release and their undivided service. Now, I draw your attention to the divine prediction. When Moses was in there before Pharaoh, he told Pharaoh this. that the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. Here is the divine prediction. Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing. You know, God has certain appointments, and these appointments God will keep. May I draw your attention to two very, very important appointments. First of all, way back in the prophecy of Amos, chapter 4, verse 12, we have these words, prepare to meet thy God. You see, here is an appointment that we must all meet. We must keep this appointment. God has appointed it, and we'll have to meet our God. Now, if God has made preparations to meet us, we also should make preparations to meet with God. That's what the prophet said, prepare to meet thy God. When I come over to the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verse 31, when the great apostle was giving that very, very interesting sermon on Mars Hill in Athens, he came to this point where he said, and God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. There's another appointment. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Not only has he appointed that day, but he has appointed the judge for that day, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. These are appointments of God. And when God makes appointments, you can rest assured he will keep them. Now, right here, Moses said, all right, you've been warned, and here is the message. Tomorrow, the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And he did. Now, there is the divine prerogative to make a difference between different peoples. It is God's right to distinguish between his people and the Egyptians. And also it is God's right to make a difference between the saved and the unsaved, to make a difference between believer and unbeliever. We drew attention to this principle in a previous study, showing that when God brought a certain judgment on the Egyptians, it fell upon the Egyptians but did not fall upon the Israelites. Here again, God is going to make a difference. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle that belonged to the Israelites dead. And yet the cattle that belonged to the Egyptians had died. And God made a difference. You see, God has a right to make a difference. And God makes a difference between his people, and there will be a difference when it comes to judgment. Because there is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus, but to those who are not in Christ Jesus, to those whose names are not written in the book of life, then they shall appear at the great white throne judgment and be condemned. So therefore, here is God's prerogative to make a difference between people. Also, there is the divine performance, and the Lord did that thing. You can rest assured that the Lord is as good as his word, and what he decrees, he will perform. Pharaoh would not repent, but continued to harden his heart against the Lord. If you care to go back over history, you'll discover that God gave warnings. He gave warnings to the people in the days of Noah, but they didn't repent, and they would not turn to God under the preaching of Noah, and so they perished. God gave them time for repentance, but they would not, and so they perished. Again, in the days when God sent his messengers down to warn Lot, who was living down in Sodom, the people there were warned, but they continued in their sin, and the judgment of God fell upon them. God has warned us again, and God has warned men and women of coming judgment. And God has given time for people to repent. But if they take up the attitude that Pharaoh took up, and if they harden their heart against the Lord, and will not repent, in the face of all the warnings that God has given, you can rest assured the stroke of judgment shall fall. Now we come to verse 8, and here we find the sixth plague. Now this time, notice again, it comes upon the people. At verse 8, here is what we read. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace. Let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. There shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blaze upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. They took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven. They became a boil breaking forth with blaze upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. So here now you have the sixth plague. Notice again, at the third plague, it was sent without warning. And then you have another two plagues, the fourth and the fifth, and each time there's a warning given. Here, when you come to the sixth plague, there's no warning. It falls upon the Egyptians in person. So the judgments of God moves from possessions to persons, and they will suffer the finger of God against themselves. You know, it's one thing to see a judgment stroke come upon one's possessions. But isn't it true a man will give all that he possesses as long as he keeps his own life and his own health? But the moment that the finger of God comes out and touches the man in person, it makes a difference. And so here the judgment of God comes, this time without a warning. I pointed out the third plague came without a warning, and the sixth plague comes without a warning. Here is the demonstration of the power of God. God has the power to do what he likes and to do it when he likes. So therefore the hand of God comes again upon the Egyptians, and it strikes them, each of them, in person, from the leaders and from these so-called religious leaders, the magicians, and right down to the people. They've all now got to suffer under the judgment finger of God. It also proves the defeat of the Egyptian magicians. Let me ask you, my friend, as you listen to me, do you realize this, that all the people who have taken the stand against God will have to suffer? Whether it be men who have already died, or people who are still alive, in spite of the lessons we've learned from history, how that way back in the Old Testament, people who fought against God had to pay an awful price. Yet at the present time, we realize that people are still arguing against God. They're still trying to argue against God's Word, the Bible. They're still arguing against the Gospel. But remember this, God can just put forth his hand or put forth his finger, and there is a demonstration of the power of God. Then just as there was the defeat of these magicians in Egypt, so there will be the defeat of every enemy of God. When the Lord returns, he will crush his enemies. He shall rule with a rod of iron. He'll dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Make no mistake about it, my friend. He is all-powerful. The devil, the great arch-enemy, will be defeated. He'll be cast into the lake of fire. That will be his final abode. The beast and the false prophet shall also be destroyed. All nations that forget God will be judged. Remember, God will yet defeat his enemies. Just as David took a little stone and slew Goliath. So remember, God can put forth his little finger, even the breath of his mouth, and he can defeat his enemies. But there is the determination of Pharaoh to continue his resistance. This is a strange thing. In spite of men seeing the finger of God, in spite of the fact they can see the work of God, and their ears can hear the message of God, nevertheless, watch them, they're still determined to go on in their way of resistance and fight against God. Now, verses 13 to the end, you have now the seventh plague. It's the plague of hail. We have the revelation of God's purposes. Verses 13 through 19. Notice what he says here. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. In plain words, he's saying you're not finished yet. If you do not change and let my people go, if there's no spirit of repentance, I have other plagues I can send. I'll send every one of them. Now, notice that God says they are my plagues. I will send all my plagues. And then, later on, he says, my hand. Verse 15, for now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence. Thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. You see, God speaks here emphatically. He says they're my plagues. It's my hand. It's my power. It's my name. It's my people. These verses make it perfectly clear that God is working all things after the counsel of his own will. I wonder what it's going to take for people to bend the knee and to submit to the power of God. You see, it's God who can send the plagues in judgment. It's God who can stretch forth his hand against his enemy. It's God who can demonstrate his power at will. It's God's name, the honor of his name that's at stake. And God says, these are my people. Pharaoh, you see, in fighting against those people, was literally fighting against God. In hardening his heart against what God was doing, he was simply carrying out his own will in resistance to the will of God. But notice now the reactions to God's revealed purposes. If God reveals his purposes, how are people going to react? Some feared the word of the Lord, and others regarded not his word. You find that at verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. In plain words, there were some who said, this is just so much talk. Who's going to listen to this man, Moses, and what he's got to say? He tells us, he's warning us about another stroke coming from God. Don't listen to him. Others said, yes, what this man says is true. Every time he's spoken already, God has vindicated the man's word. So therefore, let us take shelter. At the present time when the word of God is declared, what do you find? There are some people who listen to the word and who repent and turn to God. There are others who say, I've got no time for this business. There's no God for me, and I'm not going to listen to any preacher, and I'm not going to listen to the word of God. I'll do my own thing, and I'll take the consequences. That's exactly what happened away back here in the book of Exodus. The various reactions to God's revealed purposes, some who feared and took action, others who disregarded the whole thing and did their own thing. But watch the results of God's revealed purposes at verse 22. Obedience is exercised by Moses, the servant of God. Protection is experienced by the Israelites, the people of God. And deception is expressed and practiced by Pharaoh, the enemy of God. See, there will be results. And these results will be far-reaching. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, The Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt, and so on. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. You see, there was protection for the people of God. Now then, we've come again to the end of this lesson, and we've reached the end of the seventh plague. When we come next week, God willing, we'll take up from there.